This is the Diamond Hogs Podcast with Mason Choate and Robert Stewart.
Hey, Diamond Hogs Podcast listeners, Mason Choate here with Robert Stewart. Need to let everybody know that if you want to listen to the podcast, all you have to do is search Hogbeat Podcast Network wherever you get your podcast, and that's where you will find all of the latest Diamond Hogs Podcast episodes. We made the switch, I think last year it was. So if you just search Hogbeat Podcast Network, you will find the podcast. If you search Diamond Hogs Podcast, you're going to get our old stuff back from 2022. So Hogbeat Podcast Network, it's HAWGBEAT.com. Robert.
And also, if you're looking to watch the video version of this podcast on YouTube, don't search it on YouTube. Look on hogbeat.com, as Mason just mentioned. You'll find it there. We unlist them. We mark them as unlisted because, ads, revenue, not important stuff. But bottom line is, if you're looking to watch the video version, go to hogbeat.com. The links are always posted there. You will always be able to find them. Again, HAWGBEAT.com.
Yes, Robert had it. That's the key word, HAWGBEAT.com, hogbeat.com. Search it anywhere. When you're getting your podcast, Hogbeat. When you're searching the YouTube, Hogbeat. Just go to Hogbeat and you will find it there, hogbeat.com. That's what it is. That's where you find all of our stuff. Thank you, everybody.
Welcome to the Diamond Hogs Podcast. I'm your host, Mason Choate, joined, as always, by Robert Stewart. And we got our man, K-Bo, Kevin Bohannon, with us. You know him, friend of the program, recurring guest. Knower of baseball, way more than we know. So very excited to talk to K-Bo about the number one Arkansas Razorbacks, who are 17-2 on the year, 15-1 at home on the year. Now they got their first road trip of the season, going to Auburn, Plainsman Park. K-Bo, first off, how you feel? You feel good about this team going on the road? I know Dave said he feels good about it.
I do. The thing that I worry about is the young guys, how do they react? They didn't really have a problem when they went to Arlington earlier in the year. Colin Fisher, Gabe Gackle really performed well. So you're going to get to see these guys on the road finally. You know, those are favorable atmospheres in Arlington. And all three of us being there, we knew it. So when you got 15, 20,000 people, pro Razorback fans, but it's a little bit different at Plainsman Park. Plus, it's a Thursday through Saturday. That kind of messes with the psyche a little bit. Talked to Kendall Diggs the other day, and it was really business as usual. Hearing Peyton Stovall talk this week, they're just taking care of business, whatever they have to do. So I was asked the question a couple times yesterday on two different radio interviews. Okay, does the number one ranking matter to these guys right now? And as you know, Coach Van Horn said, look, we haven't even thought about it. And he had some players in the back of the room that he's kind of sending that message to as well. So while they do have it on their mind, they know that it doesn't mean anything right now. They can look back 3 years ago to know that. And to know that is a lot more experience moving forward, in my opinion.
Do you guys remember at the end of the Arlington series when Dave Van Horn said, we're fortunate to be 5-2? And here they are coming off a 12-0 homestand.
Yeah, man, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. You had three games down there that were all decided by three runs total. So, yeah, he's fortunate, especially looking back all the way back to James Madison and what they've done since then. Last weekend with Coastal? You know, that's JMU's going to be a really good team that's going to push some teams in the Sun Belt this year. So, I'm not surprised where they're at right now because of the talent level. Now, would we be thinking if they were 13-4, 14-3 right now? I know that's one or two games, but one or two games means a lot this early in the season. It wouldn't have surprised me if they were like 13-4 right now, having dropped a couple of games, knowing that, look, 16 different lineups have been used, 15 different pitchers have been used. So, yeah, there's going to be some room for growing pains, but this team is gelled together a lot quicker than some people have expected.
All right, let's get to some of the business stuff real quick. Hogbeat.com, check it out. HAWGBEAT.com, the Rivals website covering your Arkansas Razorbacks. And I also want to remind you about Bet Saracen. That is where you can get all those double R props and Arkansas-specific bets for those baseball games. You're not going to find them anywhere. I promise you that. You will not get the double R props on DraftKings or FanDuel. You only can get those on Bet Saracen, and you can only bet in the state of Arkansas. So shout out to Bet Saracen. Please gamble responsibly, and you can download the app wherever you get your apps, or you can also do it on your mobile browser. I think you have to download some sort of, you know, input or something so they can see your location. But just gamble responsibly and have fun betting on those Arkansas Razorbacks. All right, so this is the first Thursday through Saturday series. Do we prefer those? Because, you know, I feel like there's pros and cons because you get your Sunday, but you got to start on Thursday.
I always liked it when I was still in school. We'll see how these next 3 weeks treat me when I'm away, right? But I like going to the yard on Thursday night, wrapping up Saturday afternoon and having a Sunday off. I thought it was great. You know, there's the short rest aspect of it for the starting pitchers for sure. You know, Hagen Smith seemed to adapt just fine last week, going Saturday to Friday instead of the typical Friday to Friday, right? He'll get another chance to do it again, show if he can do it, right? I feel like that's the biggest aspect of it from a player perspective, right, Cabo?
Yeah, and they're 6 weeks into the season now, so the pitch count thing is kind of out the window unless you're really laboring early on in the game and you're throwing 80 pitches in four innings or 85 and five. So that you really saw that last weekend with them throwing Molina out there for an extra inning. Usually, you know, before that they would have pulled him. And Hagen kind of the same way. So, yeah, that's all out the window. Kendall Diggs prefers it because they get the Sunday off, but they didn't have a midweek game this week. Now, going into next week, they do have a midweek game with Little Rock. The Trojans come to Fayetteville on Tuesday, and then they got LSU coming to town. So while it's a different scenario because they're traveling this week and then they start another homestand, they're going to be in this schedule for a few weeks now. And I think bouncing back and forth between Thursday and Friday, I don't like, but having at least two consistent weeks, it helps the kids because they're able to get back in that rhythm.
And you know, Dave even mentioned it. I think he went on Tuesday, talked, and I think he said, you know, they're not really worried about pitch count. Let me figure out here. Any limitations for the starters? He said, no, one less day. Weather looks good. And then he also said, here we go, just continually building it up so they can get 90 to 100 if needed. So, I mean, kind of along the lines of what we've been saying, they'll be fine. Auburn, let's see, what's their record? 14-6. 0-3 in conference play. They're 10-2 at home, though. They did get swept by Vandy to open conference play. So that's Auburn. We're going to get more into Auburn, but I want to hit a couple news notes or stats or numbers, whatever you want to call it, for Arkansas. So unanimous number one now. That's good. We don't have to have the Baseball America ranking Oregon State over Arkansas, even though Arkansas has that.
Actually, unanimous. The team can use that word correctly now.
Yeah. NCBWA, I had a problem with last week, even though we are members. But, yeah, that was a big issue. I didn't get it. So, yeah, glad to see they turned their focus towards the team that deserved it.
It was the NCBWA, not Baseball America. That was my bad. Okay, here's some pitching numbers, though. So, this is pretty wild. Here are the statistical categories that Arkansas ranks number one in the nation in for pitching. Team ERA, and these are all team stats, by the way, so I'm not going to say team anymore. ERA, which is 2.35, WHIP, which is 0.97, strikeouts, 255, strikeouts per nine, 13.6, strikeout to walk ratio, 4.64, and hits per nine, 5.77. That's pretty crazy, dude. That's like every noteworthy pitching category.
Yeah, for real. And I've got the conference stats here. Like the next closest team in ERA is Texas A&M a whole 30 points behind, 2.65 to the Razorbacks, 2.35. And those are the only two teams under three. And the Hogs come in well below.
Yeah, I think the stat that stands out to me, yeah, the strikeouts are cool and all that. I get it. They're on pace for 800, which would set the national record for team strikeouts in a year. But they're only giving up 5.97 hits per game. Under six hit. Yeah, just think about that. That is crazy to me. It just shows you how good the staff has been as a whole, right? And the relievers, they feed off of what those starters give them in a game, knowing that, look, we got to keep this train rolling, and that matters to them, and they're taking a lot of pride in it. Now, the great thing is they have the depth, so if somebody gets knocked around a little bit, look, we go the next guy. They haven't had that luxury in the past. It's been, okay, we got to ride this and hope. Okay, yeah, Will Mack went two on Friday. Let's hope he can get us one on Sunday. Now, you got guys that didn't even pitch last weekend, and they had 12 pitchers on the roster. that's going to be something different that I want to look towards this weekend with the travel roster limited. How many catchers do they carry? Do they carry all four? Do they carry an extra pitcher or two, which I think they need to? I think they need to carry at least 13 pitchers this weekend.
27 is the travel number, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, that is interesting. I forgot about, you know, travel rosters and how we're going to have to figure out who's there and who's not. So that'll be interesting to see. All right, let's keep it moving along here with the pitching stats, though, because the Hagen Smith one to me is just wild. So he's number one in the nation with 19.6 strikeouts per nine innings. He's striking out almost 20 batters per nine innings. That's crazy.
Routinely, at least two of his outs in an inning are strikeouts.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah, that's just mind-boggling. Bottles the mind. Okay.
It does.
And my last one here, Brady Tiger, 0.73 ERA on the year. That's good for fifth nationally.
Anybody notable?
I'd have to look, to be honest.
Never mind.
He's also tied for fifth nationally with the most hit batters. He's got nine. He's hit nine batters on the year. So, you know, you'll take nine hit batters with a 0.73 ERA.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he's mitigating him and to the tune of a sub 0.75 ERA, yeah. You'll take that.
He's bounced out of a couple bases loaded jams. One, obviously, last Saturday, early in the game, that kind of shut everything down and allowed the Razorbacks to get that big sixth inning. So, yeah, way to work out of it.
Isn't it pretty wild that this Thursday game, Arkansas-Auburn, is going to be the first nationally televised game of the year for the number one Arkansas Razorbacks?
I mean, I think so, yes, but also the way college baseball is televised, like, it tracks.
Yeah, it's March Madness in the big scheme of things for college athletics right now. So while I think it's a travesty, I understand it. I mean, yeah, I'm kind of along the lines with Rob.
All right, so now that we're on the topic of Auburn, Robert, you got your stats ready to go?
Yeah, man. This is a fascinating pitching rotation, you know, provided that they use the one they did against Vanderbilt, right? We've seen two of these names before for multiple years, I'm pretty sure. Chase Alsup is their Friday guy, rocking a 7-point ERA through 22 and two-thirds innings this year, so probably not going the way he would like it to thus far. Saturday, they got a UAB transfer lefty named Carson Myers. His ERA is under five of their trio. That's the best. He's got over 20 innings as well. And then Joseph Gonzalez is the other name you'll recognize. Righty pitching on Sunday, ERA pushing seven. And he's only thrown 13 innings, so he hasn't qualified, among their team. But Cabo, this is fascinating. I want to ask you about this. For guys like Peyton Stovall, Kendall Diggs, who have been around for 3 years, as long as these guys, also been Gonzalez, does that tend to benefit the hitters in years that they've, you know, considering they've seen him in the past multiple times?
Yeah, it really does. And that's one thing that I asked Kendall the other day was, okay, I know that y'all haven't really got into the scouting report yet because this was on Monday. And, you know, being the short week, they were going to get into it on Tuesday. But he, you know, they knew who the Friday night guy was going to be with Alsup, and he knew the stuff that he had. So, yeah, that helps the guys that haven't seen him, and they're able to talk quite a bit. And you've seen a lot of that, and you even see it in-game with – and I've mentioned this before with Nate Thompson. Anytime a new guy comes to the mound, they've already got the book that they bring over there and show, okay, on-deck batter, in-the-hole hitter, you know, this is what you're looking at. Okay, remember, this is what it's like, how he likes to get ahead. This is his put-away pitch. They know Alsup's going to work mid-90s. He can bump 100 if he needs to. He's got a really good slider and a really good split. So that they already know that coming in. They also know that it's been a real struggle year for him. So what is he going to try to do early in the game? He's going to try to get ahead in the count. He's going to try to limit base runners any way he possibly can. So working his best pitch to his benefit, and they know that they have to sit on it, you know, sit and spin. We talk about that. If you see a first pitch, second pitch, spinner, slider, curveball, whatever it may be, any type of pitch that spins, you're going to sit on it, and then they can jump on the fastball. So, yeah, I think they have a really good edge when it comes to being able to jump on him on Thursday, knowing that these guys have been around for a little bit and can relay that Plus, the new guys that have come in, they're veteran hitters. They're guys that have been around for 2-3 years that can, you know, adapt to it pretty quick in-game if they see something that they haven't seen before.
Yeah, and you know who jumped on him was Vanderbilt this past week. I believe the first game ended in a run rule victory, 11-1 in 8 innings.
Yeah, 11-1. Yep.
And then a 13-5 affair Saturday, and it was a 9-6, yeah, 9-6 win for the Commodores on Sunday. So add that all up, you get, what, 33 runs given up in
26 innings.
Yeah, Vanderbilt only hit 24 times. That's why I was pausing there. But yeah, so not great stuff from the Auburn starters. However, we can take a look at their bats. They've got an interesting name. Cooper McMurray is the one who stands out immediately. If I can pull the stats back up, he is leading in a bunch of different categories. 362 hitting, batting average, slugging 812. On base percentage pushing 500, so OPS well over 1300. That's not a number you see every day for sure.
Really good.
leading in home runs with 8, leading in doubles with 7, total bases as well. Right up there in walks, almost a 1-to-1 strikeout to walk ratio. So this first baseman certainly could be a problem for the Hogs this weekend.
Yeah, you know, looking in there. Go ahead, Max.
No, you go ahead. I would love for you to go first.
Yeah, so the big question was 2 years ago, how are they going to face or replace Sonny D? And they did that. You know, it was by a collection of guys. Ike Irish is a name that is back from last year. He was hitting 316, and I don't know if they had a midweek game. I didn't remember that. So
yeah, they did. He's up to 325 on the year. I think he caught Tuesday night. So yeah, he's definitely swinging it well.
Yeah, so 316 going into the other day and up to 325. And this is a team that offensively, they have a 1-to-1 strikeout to walk ratio. It was 124 to 123 going into the midweek game. So that's a thing that Arkansas knows right away. Now, on the other side, their pitching staff, it's like 2-to-1, the 166 to 75 going into the midweek game. Strikeout to walk ratio. So this is a team that is very disciplined at the plate. They had 37 home runs as a team going into the midweek game. So they know how to hit the baseball. Cooper McMurray, the Weiss kid that came over from Miami of Ohio, it's a good lineup. So this is going to be a really good test for the Arkansas pitching staff.
Yeah, without a doubt. As you mentioned, guys like Ike Irish, Cooper Weiss, both hitting over 325. 6 bombs for Irish. That's second on the team. Both guys slugging well over 500. OPS is both north of 1,000, so really good for them. And then the other one is Mason Mainers, I believe, left fielder. He's hitting 359 on the year, also over 1,000 on the OPS. And then I've got the conference stats pulled up. Like you said, they can swing it, and yet it's weird, right? Because they're sitting 11th in team average in the conference. You know, this is a PDF, so I can't sort it by other categories, but definitely lacking compared to other teams in the league, which is interesting because they're not necessarily bad at the plate, right?
Yeah, and Dave talked about that yesterday. He was asked, you know, they got swept by Vanderbilt last week, but Dave was like, yeah, but they still hit the ball really well. So I think that Dave Van Horn is well aware of that. I did want to bring this up, though, because we were talking about the series 2 years ago. At Auburn, and I was looking at the Arkansas players who are still on the roster from that series, who played in that series, and you've got Brady Tiger. He pitched twice.
He'll be looking for some redemption, by the way.
Absolutely.
There was a wild pitch or two that really cost him in that game, I think.
So Will McIntyre also threw, and Hagen Smith started a game, gave up 2 earned and 4 innings. And the last one was Kendall Diggs. Kendall Diggs hit DH at least one game. And I want to say 2 games, 3 games. Oh, Kendall Diggs hit DH this whole weekend, I think. But this was his freshman year, and it was kind of a big deal for him to start at DH all weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was – and if I'm not mistaken, that was kind of at the end of his really hot streak that he had, because the series was a little bit later on in the year, if I'm not mistaken.
Right off that Ole Miss series where he hit the walk-off?
Yeah.
I think it was
Jack Doherty. I was there. Yep. I remember that.
Did he go deep against Auburn too? I feel like somebody hit a big 3-run shot in that first game of the series late.
He did hit a home run. I don't know if it was a 3-run shot. I'd have to do some research and go back and watch it. But I know he played in it. So, Kayba, I was going to ask you, you know, from a pitcher perspective, and even, you know, I guess, is it more advantageous to be a pitcher who you've already pitched in that ballpark, or a hitter and you've already hit in that ballpark, or does it matter?
I think the way – and, yeah, this is a great point, and this is something I've been talking about as well. I think it's advantageous to be a hitter in that park. You've seen what Auburn's lineup has done, because it's just a weird setup. And I just – it's just one of those things that, look, they look like they put a baseball field in the middle of a campus and just said, okay, we're going to build around it. So I think it's, you know, the hitters that can get comfortable there – and really know how to work those gaps, really know how to, you know, find the holes, especially in the outfield right there, because Arkansas has been squaring a lot of balls up there, finding a lot of barrels right now, making sure, you know, having to play and hit against the shifts and everything. So, yeah, I'm all about the hitters that have been there before and know what to expect. It's going to be really advantageous for them.
Yeah, I just looked up the dimensions, by the way. Obviously, they got that big wall, Fenway-type wall in left field. It's only 315 to the pole, so not a deep left field line for sure. And center field's only 385 feet. That's the same as the power alley on the left hand side. So definitely a small park. If the righties catch a hold of one this week, look out. That ball's gonna fly.
I don't know how much you guys have looked into weather, but I'm reading here. Dave said Friday doesn't look good, Thursday looks good, and Saturday looks a little bit better. So are we worried about maybe a postponement or something?
I wanted to bring that up when you said, Dave said
the weather looks good. Yeah.
Cause there's a 75% chance at the park, of rain on Friday and 45 on Saturday. So, yeah, definitely get the one in, Thursday. You know, here we are, it's 8:24 Wednesday morning. I wouldn't be surprised to see that they're going to announce a doubleheader for Thursday, but don't hold me to that. I'm not a meteorologist.
A doubleheader for Thursday would be worst case scenario for me. That would be awful.
That would be crazy. I'm sure they've done it before. And I mean, especially they've done it on Fridays for Friday through Saturday, for Friday through Sunday series. But I can't go back and recollect saying, okay, that I think they would rather push it to Saturday. But as you said, 45% chance of rain at the park. But who knows? Maybe they can get into sevens on Saturday.
Yeah, the rain Saturday is what worries me. Otherwise, I would suggest that. But I just know that the worst case scenario is canceling games, right? Like, I remember it happened.
Only playing two, yeah.
It happened between South Carolina and LSU last year, and that ended up being what got the Razorbacks the SEC West title, right? Because then they won it by a half game. LSU won the series, but they didn't get that extra 30th game. So,
yeah,
it could be very important if they don't get that game in.
And I believe in a situation like this, like travel plans, hotel reservations, you can't play on Sunday, right? Do we know?
I don't know the rationale, but I know that you have to play three games in 3 days. Like, you can't push it.
Yeah, that's a conference.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we hit it with Auburn. Anything else, Robert, that you have on your scouting report, or Kayba, anything?
Not me.
Yeah, hit it really good. They haven't pitched well, especially the starters that they had expected coming into the year. It's a kind of an Auburn team, an Auburn roster that, like, they went a little bit deeper into the portal this past year to fill some of those spots, along with guys like Ike Irish and some regular names that have been coming back and played well for Auburn the last couple of years. So they're still trying to really find their way, and they're going to be looking to prove something. As we said, Vanderbilt beat them last week. They still hit well, but – that pitching staff is going to be out to prove something this weekend, and Arkansas has to be ready to be expecting that and take two of three at least.
Okay, let's hit a few more things here before we get to bold predictions for the weekend. I wanted to ask, so we had some position battles going into the year, and I feel like we've seen some stuff kind of, you know, figure itself out. Left field to me is you know, a big one still. Because Jason Jones, when is he going to really just figure it out consistently? And it's hard for him because Ross Lovich is hitting 342. So, and then also you have the fact that, like, Wilmsmeyer's not really hitting. So sometimes you get Edmondson in center, Edmondson in left. You know, I think Lovich has played in right. Has Lovich played in
center? Lovich in center, Jones in left. Yeah.
Okay. So, like, where are we at with the outfield? Are we okay with the shuffling around, or do we want some consistency?
Well, I mean, it's certainly nice to have the consistency of Diggs on the right side, right? I mean, you know, that's not going anywhere.
That's your anchor.
Usually it comes in center field. You know, sometimes it's different. But yeah, I mean, I feel like Lovich, depending on, you know, whether he's playing left or center, I think he's done enough at the plate to be in there consistently at this point. It comes down to matchups, I guess, at that point. Do you want to have Jones in left on one day? Do you want to have Wilmsmeyer in center on another? That's, you know, maybe Edmondson in center, if neither of those guys. But yeah, Lovich is definitely proving himself, at least offensively, as the second outfielder. That's really a lock, I think, in the lineup.
I agree 100%. And yeah, you have to have him in there because he's hit well against righties and lefties. The splits are they're favorable for Lovich no matter what, no matter who's on the mound. So I think the speed, the way he runs the bases, he brings that extra energy that, you know, they really talked about in the Missouri series last weekend with, you know, both the other brothers, the older and younger brother, have the height, the length and everything, but Lovich said, "I got the speed." And you can really see that out there. So while everybody wishes, wish he could play center field and, you know, do that, it's different, guys. You can't just put somebody in center field and say, okay, go do it because they can hit. You cannot do that. It is different. It is the hardest place to play in the outfield because you got to read spin four different ways, right, left, back, forward. You got to read it. It's you're patrolling the big green ocean. You have the most area to cover out there. So your reads have to be perfect. Look at the guys that have played center field at Arkansas. They're pros. I mean, Fletcher, Benintendi, Gentry, Brett Eibner. Those guys are professionals, so you just can't stick anybody out there, especially a freshman. Let's get the Nolan Sousa thing out of the conversation. Okay, we can't stick him out there yet, okay, until he takes some reps. All right, so Lovich, yes, he deserves to be out there. Jones, I think, is going to be situational. Look, if they think it's a good matchup and he can hit some bombs that day, great. If not, I think he's still on the bench. Edmondson, he's shown that he can adapt to certain situations and he can kind of be that guy. Plus, he's got, you know, he's athletic. He can run. So he's a guy that can hit at the top of the lineup. I think Wilmsmeyer is going to come along. I think last weekend was really good for him. He's going to show, I think he's going to get more consistent, and they're going to keep him at the bottom of the lineup to where he can see. Missouri knew how to pitch those guys, and Lovich and Wilmsmeyer still had good weekends off of them. So while, yes, there's still going to be some shuffling around, I think we're closer than we were 4 weeks ago.
I would agree with that. And one note on Ty Wilmsmeyer really quick. You know, the stats, like you said, they're not exactly there, right? 233 OPS below 700. Nothing pretty. But at the same time, we've seen some pretty, like, low-key brilliant stuff from him, right? Exactly. I think he had a 5 RBI game. That wasn't low-key, right, in the first weekend. But, you know, he's had some seeing eye ground balls get through to score couple of runs with two outs a couple times. It feels like he's laying down bunts, like you said. That speed, it causes problems for defenders on the base pass for sure.
I was gonna say that you mentioned all those center fielders who are pros for Arkansas. I don't know if y'all have seen any recent pictures or videos of Christian Franklin, but he's freaking jacked.
He looks good.
Yeah, he might make it up this year.
Cubs are going to have a good one soon, for sure.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, like, look, if you want to play center field for the Arkansas Razorbacks, you got to be really good. So they still got to figure that out. Cabo, you kind of hit on it at the top of the show. Will they travel for catchers? But catcher, you know, a position we haven't really seen an everyday catcher yet for the most part. I feel like Ryder Helfrich has kind of, you know, gone away for a little bit. Where are you at with the catchers?
Yeah, Hudson White's your – every day he's your 2 out of 3 guy. He's your guy that, look, okay, if there's a one line, he's up there because he's starting to get the bat going too. You know, he had a couple of balls that were he had a couple of Adam balls last week and he hit them right at him. So plus he had a couple hits, so I think in his defense has gotten a lot better out there. I haven't seen ejecto mitt as much lately out of him, so I think it's looking really good back there. With him, the pitching staff, and this is talking to the pitching staff, they really like Parker Rowland. They really like the veteran presence back there. They like what he brings in the terms of managing a pitching staff. That's one of the top 4 qualities that I always talk about, receiving, blocking, throwing, handling a pitching staff. Those are the top 4 things. Hitting is number 5. So how they handle the pitching staff moving forward, I think the Hudson Polk experiment's over with. He's hitting, what, 188? So let's move on from that and move on to something else. I think Helfrich is going to be one of those guys that they can get him midweek games right now. He's just not quite there, but the potential is there. And I know Coach Van Horn early in the season wanted to see if he could get that going and parlay that into a good run to where he could possibly split 40-60, maybe, 45-55 with White. So I think they carry three this weekend, and, if they can get Helfrich some time back there, they will.
Yeah, you mentioned Hudson White, right? Like, he's definitely like emerged as the number one guy. He's not going to catch every day because you don't have to. There's no reason to catch one guy every day if you've got four of them, right? But he's getting it done at the plate. You talked about chemistry that the veterans have with Roland. White's got that with Molina, right? Both coming from Texas Tech. And Roland's switch hitting bat, that can definitely be advantageous at times. And you don't have to look farther than shortstop last year, right? Catcher is a position that you can be below average at the dish, as long as you're really good behind it. And so, Polk, Helfrich, Roland, the batting statistics aren't necessarily there, but Roland is definitely the kind of guy that has established himself as, somebody that everybody wants to have in the lineup.
All right, let's keep it rolling here on the Diamond Hogs podcast, which is brought to you by Hogbeat.com and Bet Saracen, HAWGBEAT.com, the Rivals website covering your Arkansas Razorbacks. Slower week, not a ton of coverage this week, understandably so. Bet Saracen, if you want to get those double R props for the Arkansas-Auburn series this weekend, you got to do it on Bet Saracen, and you have to be in the state of Arkansas. So download the app, and please just gamble responsibly, and have fun while you're doing it as well. All right, guys, before we get to weekend MVPs, I wanted to hit on a couple random things here. Have y'all seen these WooPig perks that the baseball team came out with? No? Cabo, have you seen it?
You talking about the gorilla mask?
No, not that. We do need about the gorilla thing, though.
Yeah, I saw it, but didn't look into it. I had seen it. So, yeah, go ahead and talk about that.
All right. And Robert, remind me, we got to talk about the gorilla action figure. So,
Okay.
So here are these WooPig perks where you can enhance your game day experience with the University of Arkansas. Perks are for Saturday baseball conference games. They're on sale now. You can go to the Arkansas Razorbacks website and find them. And here's what they're offering. You can take a family photo on the field pregame. Any guesses on how much that's going to cost you to take a picture on the field pregame?
It's got to be $100. At least $100, yeah.
How much did you say, Cabo?
$150.
It's $100 to take a picture. All right. Next, you can watch batting practice on the field. And I didn't look at the prices on this. You can play catch on the field. After the game, take to the field and play catch inside Baumwalker Stadium. You must bring your own glove. You can do a batting
play cage catch practice with players, or just like throw with your friends.
I don't know. It doesn't say.
I mean, they've done that in the past anyway. I mean, I've seen brothers and out there, they get out there and play catch.
Here's the crazy thing though. To play catch on the field is $50, and to take a picture is $100.
When you could just go out in the hog pen and throw a baseball?
Yeah. There's two more. You can do a batting cage practice session. And you can also do the seventh inning stretch with John Williams and Ribby. So.
Like, be on the mic.
I don't know. Here's the thing. They put all this stuff out and they don't have any details about any of it. It's just like, here's
supplement what it is. NIL dollars right here, boys. This is what this is.
And to take batting practice, it's $50. Why is it $100 to take a picture and $50 to play catch or take batting practice?
Got to pay the photographer, man. Those photogs make cash.
I guess. All right.
WooPig perks, eh?
Yeah. All right, let's get into this gorilla ball thing, because – Arkansas is giving away this gorilla figurine after every game, I guess, to just whoever had the best performance at the plate. And so Hudson White was asked after the Sunday game against Missouri, what does gorilla ball mean right now? He said, it's just about playing big, playing with confidence, going out there and just having big energy. That's what we did the last three games, and so it was a lot of fun. And Vahiva Aloy, who was awarded the Gorilla after Sunday's game, he said it's just about competing, winning at bats, and just hitting the ball hard. So what do we think about the Gorilla, guys?
I think it's good that they have a little prop to have fun with, right? Maybe it's gimmicky, whatever. But, you know, it signals that it's more than just, you know, or it's just more evidence that, you know, they're not taking the number one ranking really seriously, right? Have fun. It doesn't mean anything at this point in the season. Just like, you know, it's a game. It's baseball. You're supposed to have fun, right? That's what it boils down to for me. I'm glad they're doing it.
And the connotation is really kind of hit homes with me because you think about the 90s of Gorilla Ball. And I mean, Gorilla Ball back then was hitting 35 home runs in a year. I know Jock from Florida hit 33 last year or whatever. Yeah, but this was a different era back then. You know, pop flies went out. You had a 21-14 1998 College World Series final. So, you know, when I first saw it, I was like, are we really playing Gorilla Ball? But, you know, the energy, playing big, being dominant, you know, I get that. It's good because it keeps the dugout loose. They're going for something. I mean, heck, we had a snake in the dugout, a real live snake that we embalmed back in high school that we had. That it was just our gimmick. It was just something that we, you know, went with. You know, we couldn't put a comet in the dugout because that's really kind of against 147 different international laws. So, you know, something good for the kids to stay loose out there. I kind of like it.
Do you think that it was strategic to wait to start, you know, publicly showing the Gorilla until the bats started getting hot?
That and SEC. Good thing they kind of coordinated with each other, you know, unconsciously.
Better optics for sure.
Yep.
All right, let's get into weekend MVPs. I'm going to start because we were talking about Kendall Diggs and you know, he hit the home run last time he played at Auburn. I'm gonna do it again. I'm gonna pick a guy to hit two home runs. I'm gonna pick Kendall Diggs to hit two home runs on the weekend, and also worth noting that he's got more walks than strikeouts still so far this year. 15 walks, 14 strikeouts. Just he and it. I think I said this before. It Kendall Diggs just quietly having a really good year, and I think it's because maybe we've made the expectations a little bit too high for him coming into the year. I don't know, or maybe he's exactly where we thought he would be.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it had been sort of well established what he needed to do, and he's just really doing exactly that, right? There's not much more to it than that. I think he's on the trajectory that we thought he'd be on, I think.
Yeah, I think the fact of the national writers didn't give him as much national attention as we were expecting, because we knew what he had coming into this year, coming out of the Cape League where he played, started 35 games in right field. So we kind of knew, look, this is going to be our horse. Why is he not getting the national attention? But yeah, because Kendall's a quiet guy, you know, he's not that boisterous. Yeah, he's a high energy guy, but he's not going to say a lot. He's, you know, he's very well spoken, gets stuff done. He just takes care of business.
All right, I will move on to my bold prediction here. I'm going to stick at the plate as well. It feels like, you know, I was going to say Jared Sprague's kind of disappeared a little bit. Dude's still hitting over 350. And yet that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to say multiple extra base hits from Jared Sprague this week. He's only got 5 on the year, 4 doubles, 1 home run, which seems kind of impressive the way he started, honestly. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's going to start all 3 games. He didn't last week. They wanted to get Holt some action now that Stovall's the full-time second baseman. So, yeah, I'll go with a couple of extra base knocks for Jared Sprague-Lott.
Yep, and I'm going to stay in the infield and kind of with Rob there. Vahiva Aloy really showed me a lot last weekend in terms of he got down in a couple of counts. There were a couple of counts where he was down 1-2. One time he got a hit. The other time he fought back and got a walk. So, Vahiva Aloy will have at least 3 bombs this weekend. I'm not going to say he's got more, but we're going bold predictions. I think he has a really breakout weekend, and the SEC takes notice.
The boldest of them all. Way to go, Cabo.
All right. Let's Let's close it out here then. I wanted to talk about Florida and how they've lost every single midweek game this year. But then I looked and they're 12-8 overall in the year. So, like, let's just not even get into it. Let's talk about them later.
We'll save it for next month when the Gators come to town.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Okay. So, like we mentioned, Thursday through Saturday, weather will probably be a factor this weekend. So just keep your eye on it. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. Make sure you're keeping an eye on hogbeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com.
Is this going to be the return of the Tarp Master, Mason?
Let's see. I think there was a game at Baum earlier this year that they got the tarp out. I don't remember which game it was. Okay. So, but yeah, the Tarp Master might have to be in full force unless they do. Here's the thing. I said earlier, if there's a doubleheader on Thursday, it's horrible for me because I'm currently in Wyoming and I just will not be able to watch the games on Thursday. I'm going to be skiing. So, like, I need them to not have a doubleheader on Thursday or I'm just going to miss it. So, hopefully that doesn't happen. But if it does, I'll go back and watch it and we'll talk about it all on the podcast on Monday. So, really appreciate everybody listening. Very thankful for Cabo for joining us. And we'll talk to everybody on Monday.
You've been listening to the Diamond Hogs podcast. Follow the guys on Twitter at Choate Mason and at DRStew32.